Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. We are talking about whether or not Hamas is a terrorist organization.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yuhyi wa yumeet. ولكن هذه أمة خالدة إن شاء الله ومتجددة. وكما قال الشاعر إذا غاب سيد قام سيد إن شاء الله تعالى.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. We are here in the studio talking about whether or not Hamas is a terrorist organization. In order to talk about the subject a little bit, we decided to invite Sheikh Ali Qummi. We invite him and start the talk show. Sheikh Ali, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for having me.
First and foremost, Sheikh Ali, our condolences to you and all the truth and freedom seekers all across the world upon this martyrdom assassination of Haj Ismail Haniya. You know, one of the things that we see that has been peddled as this humongous lie, especially in recent times with the assassination of Ismail Haniya, is this statement or this lie that he was a terrorist or that Hamas is a terrorist organization. And, you know, we see that they're really trying very hard for whatever reasons, you know, to push this forth. And we wanted to talk a little bit about this, you know, really whether or not Hamas is a terrorist organization or not. So with that, we hand it over to you in the name of Allah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani la'in rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, first of all, I think before we analyze the notion that you're putting forth, one must ask this question, that why is this narrative being pushed? Whether Hamas or Ismail Haniyeh or other Hamas officials or Hamas crew resistance forces, you know, why are they so continuously through the mainstream media get labeled as terrorist organizations, right? Well, I think like we were discussing before the talk show as well, the real aim behind pushing this narrative is to legitimize the oppression, the non-stop oppression of the Zionist regime of Israel and of course its masters in the entire region,
to legitimate the oppression that they're
doing. So they want to legitimize that, we're going after the bad guys. So for that you have to first label them
as bad guys.
So this is basically the reason. And like I said, you know, we'll discuss the and analyze the notion itself, but first we have to critically analyze why in the world are they pushing for this narrative, right? So this legitimacy, the Zionist regime of Israel must know that they're never going to get this legitimacy, right? Just like they themselves, their inception up until today has not gained legitimacy in the eyes of the masses of the world, right? Now, when we talk about terrorism, right, what is the term, like, where does it come from, right? When you talk about terrorism, what is the definition of terrorism? A lot of times, a lot of these terms get used without, you know, deeply introspecting or inspecting what these terms really
mean. That they hold.
Right? So terrorism, you know, as it usually commonly, while there may be many definitions, usually it gets defined as the violent use of force against people to reach some political gains, right? And to make them intimidated, right? And to make them scared, and to make them fear something, right? This phenomenon is called terrorism. Now, honestly, before we again start talking about the notion, is it not something that applies to the Zionist regime of Israel? At least after October the 7th, the whole world knows. We're claiming that it's more than 70 years. You look at the history, those of you who are not well studied, you go and look throughout the history. 70 plus years of non-stop oppression, genocide, killing babies, women, elderly.
Stealing land.
Stealing land, occupying illegally, you know, demolishing schools, you know, roads.
It's been happening for 70 plus years.
Whatever you think about, you know, whatever bad you can think about, that an entity can do against a country or a population of a country, Israel has done it, right? So the real terrorist in this equation would be the Zionist regime of Israel. Now, when it comes to, you know, the notion itself, whether Hamas is a terrorist organization or not, we have seen it being pushed by the mainstream media and the politicians, some politicians and some governments, you know, very wholeheartedly, right?
Yeah.
And for this, we need to, you know, kind of understand that this topic has multiple dimensions.
Sure.
For some of our audiences, they may be looking for Islamic legitimacy of the creation of Hamas, right? Or, you know, it can be applied to other resistance groups as well.
Sure.
Hashd al-Sha'bi, you know, Sipai Pasdaran, you know, different resistance groups that are resisting. But we are focusing on Hamas at the moment.
And the Islamic legitimacy.
So the first point would be like the Islamic legitimacy. You know, where does that come from?
Sure.
The second point would be the international legitimacy, right?
Yeah.
International politics, you know, how does it look at the creation of such a group and the retention of such a group and can for this group to continue to exist, right? So the third dimension would be that the resistance, it comes from the people, and do the people of that region, that land, do they
consider it legitimate,
support it and consider its existence to be legitimate or not, right?
So these are three different dimensions.
Islamically speaking, internationally, law, and in terms of the local population of that region, that country, that city, that belt, whatever it is, right?
Sure.
So we will, you know, go through each one of them. So the first one, right? Islamically speaking, you know, the armed resistance, especially the armed resistance, when it comes to defending yourself, you do not need any approval.
Of
course, know, that's the bare minimum.
Defending
but
yourself,
if you're going to be organizing a group of people, right? If you're going to be bringing other people in, you know, so it's not self-defense at an individual level anymore. It's not like somebody broke into my house.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like somebody is just, you know, occupying my house only and I'm defending myself and I'm fighting for my right as an individual. No. Because that doesn't require any legitimacy.
Self-explanatory type thing,
When it comes to like a group or more than a few people, you know, coming together collectively to form an organized resistance movement, now we're talking about something different than individual, right?
Yeah.
In effect, yes, it is a self-defense. But at the end of the day, because you're involving other people's lives in it, you know, Islam says that this right is only reserved for the ma'soom imam, the Prophet of Allah or the ma'soom imam, right? And in the time of occultation, anybody who can approve and legitimize this right of self-defense at this collective level is the Wali Amr Muslimin, which is the Waliul Faqih. So it has to be the jurist, the qualified jurist, who can actually allow the formation of that group, right? And gives that Islamic legitimacy to it, right?
Sure.
Yes, they could still be defending themselves, which is well within their right, but that Islamic legitimacy that we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
That comes from, that has to come from the Islamic authority.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at Hamas, other resistance groups like this too, but again, we're focusing on Hamas for this talk show, right? If you look at Hamas, you know, for the longest time ever, they have that legitimacy from the Waliul Faqih, right? So alhamdulillah, Islamically they're covered. For those of our audiences who may be looking for their Islamic legitimacy to do this uprising and, you know, form a group, a resistance group to regain their land and their rights and stuff. So they can do armed resistance because Waliul Faqih has endorsed them. Now, the second...
which is the international
aspect
legitimacy.
Of it is the international legitimacy.
Yeah.
You look at international legitimacy, you have something like Geneva Convention, right?
Sure, sure.
You have many other United Nations clauses which endorse, and these are, I've read them myself.
They're blanket
clauses. They say that any liberation... liberation movement that is in response to an occupation is legitimate. So any people living on any piece of land, if they're occupied by a foreign force, they have the right to resist against that foreign force.
Yes, so case in point is Palestine.
Palestine is
can't
a
be
prime
clearer.
Example.
Yeah, prime example, right?
So, you know, internationally, you like there is no international clause that would that can potentially stop the Palestinians from resisting in the face of this illegal occupation that started in 1948, formally.
Right.
So that's the second aspect of it.
And that's really interesting. So we've got Islamic legitimacy, We've very clearly spoken about the international legitimacy, and how very clear these two aspects support this idea that in no way is Hamas a terrorist organization, or was Ismail Haniyeh.
It's very clear. And freedom and liberation seeking movement, right? And so all of its officials automatically get covered, right? They cannot be called terrorist. The organization cannot be called terrorist. The reason, again, why they're calling them terrorists is so they can legitimize their oppression on them, which is in violation of international
laws
itself,
and,
right? So you look at something like Haj Qasem Soleimani, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So they had to label him as a terrorist so they could legitimize their strike on
danger to the state. And
so this is how it works, right? The third aspect is, of course, the people, right? People of that region, people of that land, people of that city, that country, whoever is resisting, are they with the resistance movement, the armed resistance movement or not?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You look at the entire Gaza Strip.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a person, anyone,
going over
against
the last
Hamas,
10 months.
Right? Going against Hamas and saying that, oh, we don't want an armed resistance against the Zionist regime.
Or we don't want to have anything to do with them.
Or we don't, you know, have
they
to.
They haven't even said that.
Right.
Over 10 months of a very serious genocide.
In which over 40,000 people have given their lives.
That they totally support.
And these innocent people, we're not talking about fighters who are 40,000.
Women, children.
These people who, these 40,000 men, women, children, elderly people who have been ruthlessly and cold-blooded massacred by the Zionist regime of Israel. These people are not the resistant in that sense of the word where they have weapons and they're fighting back. No, these are innocent people, the local population. And according to Imam Khamenei, and this is such a beautiful point, you know, the reason they keep attacking these innocent civilians is because they cannot do anything against the resistance movement.
The resistance forces.
That's why Israel is nonstop bombing them, carpet bombing, you know, and just clearing up and doing a nasl kushi, as they say, right?
Genocide. And
so, you know, the
people
thing
is what you
the
were
people,
about.
the local population of Gaza, generally speaking, the entire Palestine, right? They are pro-resistance,
and
right?
They democratically elected them as well.
That's my next point.
Yeah, yeah.
Hamas is the democratically elected government of Gaza. Not today, not 10 months ago.
Yeah,
since 2007.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
At least, even before. 2007 is what I looked up, right? From 2007 onwards, there are the elected government of Gaza Strip. So what happened to all those
political establishment,
those slogans of democracy and
democracy,
you know, people's choice, and you know, people have the right to choose for themselves? Well, they chose Hamas. And what do you do with those people? You turn around and call their elected government to be a terrorist? Well, this is the duplicity of the West, right?
And you should see how much charity work Hamas has done in the Gaza Strip.
Course,
this is something that is totally covered up, again, because you can't have the bad guy doing charity work, you know? But the amount of charity work that they did within the Gaza Strip, whether it's providing services to the people, providing electricity and gas and jobs and these kind of things.
That's the reason why they're in power, right?
You know, that's why they're in power, because they were helping the people, you know? Sometimes they like to portray it that Hamas is just an organization with its only sole purpose to defeat Israel. It has taken care of its own people in a very responsible manner, you know?
Of course. You know, the problem is with this Western mindset, right? Where they have this mindset that the assassins, these assassins and paid mercenaries, right? They have nothing to do with the population of that country or that region.
Yeah, right.
So if you look at, like, you know, these Blackwater guys and, you know, all the other mercenaries and stuff, right? They're just paid to kill. They don't have a life. They're like drug addicts, right? I mean, these people are just disturbed individuals with a horrible past.
Some of them are like ex-cons. And
so these are the ones who go out with the guns and, you know, the sniper rifles and, you know, they do the assassinations. And then there's, like, you know, money, a lot of money in the play, you know. People pay to kill those politicians. And so, and these types of things are shown in the movies too, right? Because of this predominant, prevailing culture in the West, when it comes to the resistance in the Islamic lands and in this region, right, you look at these resistance movements that we're discussing, Hamas being one of them, they think it's something similar.
Yeah.
Or they just get paid to kill.
Yeah.
or that, no, Papa, these are grassroots. These are the people who, they were born there, they were raised there, they grew up there, they studied there, they were educated there. And when they saw that they are illegally occupied and they are being discriminated against and they are being, you know, a victim of a genocide, they decide to get up and defend.
Yeah.
These are those local peoples, unlike those, you know, kind of the
Blackwater mercenaries and
see the difference, you know,
that's a huge difference.
That's a very important point I think people need to keep in mind when it comes to all of these resistance movements.
Yeah.
For instance, you look at Haniyeh, right? Ismail Haniyeh. He, three of his sons, I believe, and then three of his grandsons, they're martyred.
And I think even his sister or something like that.
He has given like, I don't know, 70 or some odd number of family members
in this fight for the freedom of Palestine.
And this liberation of Palestine, right? Interesting. So Rahbar said this, that I've heard, you know, he was sitting with Imam Khamenei, I think earlier this year, a few months ago. Rahbar, you know, he's sitting and they're talking, and Rahbar said that I've heard that, you know, they've killed your sons and your grandchildren. He's like, yeah, we've lost, I think, I'm quoting, hopefully I'm not wrong, around 70, I forgot the figure, it was 60, 70, 80, something like that.
Yeah.
He said, it's not just these. I have personally lost 70 family members because, you know, like
they all lived there,
extended family members, right? And the, he said, I have given 70 family members. And then Imam Khamenei, he looks at him, okay? And then Ismail Haniyeh said, and it's not just me. There are many who have given over 150 family members of theirs in this war.
To
liberate Palestine, right? Since its inception of the ruthless baby-killing Zionist regime. Right? So this is what we're dealing with. When we talk about these resistance movements, you know, when you start calling them, they're a terrorist, automatically human mind thinks that, they are those paid mercenaries who are just working for a few dollars, you know. No. It's the culture of this place is that we're going to defend. And this
Our
is why you see somebody's uncle, somebody's nephew, somebody's father, somebody's grandfather. They're all part of it. You know, they've become martyred over the course of time, right?
Yeah.
Case in point, this Imad Mughniyeh, Jihad Mughniyeh, and Imad Mughniyeh's brother as well. They're all martyrs, right?
Yeah.
So we have to understand when we talk about these movements, resistance movements in this area, these are the people, the original people of these lands. They've lived there for generations, right? For centuries. They have roots here. They're civilized
Ismail Haniyeh was born in Gaza City. And
yes, and he was educated there. He did his bachelor's in Arabic literature, I believe, from the Gaza University in Gaza. So, you know, this is, I think, we wanted to analyze the three dimensions of the legitimacy.
You know, Sheikh Ali, I mean, I think so in one of these... in the inauguration ceremony of President Pezeshkian, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, he spoke a little bit about the issue in Palestine towards the end of that speech that he gave at the inauguration. So at the end of the speech, he talked about how the Zionist and the Israeli government is not a government, but that it is a criminal gang, or bandits, if you will. This criminal gang, this murderous gang, a criminal gang, right? And so, you know, we were talking about how the mass media has tried to portray Hamas or the other resistance movements or Ismail Haniyeh as terrorists. But with this statement of Imam Khamenei that it is the Zionist regime that is a terrorist gang, I mean, I'd like to end here. We talked about that side of the coin. What about this side of the coin? Is not the Zionist regime the one that should be on trial here?
Well, honestly, this is what the people of the world are asking for. If you look at, you know, just leave those sold out governments, you know, those who are under pressure of the Western superpowers, you know, forget about them. Or even these sheikhdoms in the in the Middle Eastern region, right?
Sure, sure.
Forget about the heads of the states. I'm talking about people, right? People of the world. Yesterday, I was looking at some huge crowd from Japan, in Japan, proper Japanese. They came out in defense of Palestine with their flags. And this was yesterday I saw it, right? More than just a gang, a terrorist gang, Imam Khamenei called the Zionist regime of Israel, this piece of land that they're occupying and they're calling it Israel, to be a terrorist garrison.
Mm. Yeah, in a previous speech, he called it a terrorist garrison. Yeah.
Remember that? This is what he has called it, right? So we know that the biggest element in the international terrorism today throughout the world, yes, West Asia and Middle East is probably, you know, that top of the list, but throughout the world, all the terrorist activities that get carried out, they are one way or the other related to the Zionist regime of Israel. Mm. Zionist regime of Israel is a threat to world peace.
Well,
and as the time is going on, people are realizing that.
Look at the Pegasus softwares and how much they... And it's really unfortunate. People seem to forget so much stuff that is there, you know, in recent history. So the spying scandal and the Jeffrey Epstein and this, you know, sexual blackmailing of world leaders across the board, spy software in, you know, the French guy's phone and the German chancellor's phone, you know, on one side. Assassinations left and right, you know. The most recent, I guess, is this Ismail Haniyeh, but, you know, in Lebanon, the assassinations that they've been doing, and the war on the Palestinians for the 17th. And so I'm just adding to what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. No, thanks for bringing up all these
examples. The list
is
so huge of these international terrorists. Daesh, of course, was huge, right? When, and again, I said it's unfortunate that people forget these things. And I think the mass media is geared towards this, to have you forget things so that they
especially
plant new
the social
things.
Media. Especially the social media.
There was a time where it was so, you know, famous. You had John McCain, who's dead now. But Senator John McCain went and he met with the white helmets of Syria, who later on were proven to be these terrorists who destroyed the country. And how many of these Daesh soldiers who were wounded would go to Israel and receive medical treatment in Israel?
They get the training and then the
treatment. They get the medical treatment. So yes, you know, you will see that the links go back to this Zionist
regime. And you know,
regime.
To be honest, you know, if I can take it to the next level, and sooner or later, those who don't even realize it today, they will realize it more as the time passes by and they witness more things and they become ideologically mature, is that the real terrorist in today's time and age is the head of the snake, the United States of America.
Well, it's the one who's supporting the I guess, the baby terrorist.
Exactly. The Zionist regime of Israel is a rabid dog, you know, who is going around, you know, biting because its demise is near.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It knows. The world knows. The world politicians even know. The countries know that the death of the Zionist regime is around the corner.
Yeah, the Zionist project is over.
They're just becoming desperate now.
Yeah.
And they're showing their desperation through these tactics. You know, what they don't understand is that shahadat and martyrdom, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, it has been our strength.
Yeah,
right. The strength
as
of
Imam
Muslims.
Sajjad alayhi salam says.
Strength of Islam.
It is our heritage.
And it is our heritage, right? Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, beautiful reminder. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam said that. And, you know, all of our Imams became shaheed, right? The miscalculation that the oppressors of all times do is that they think that if we exert pressure on Shias, they are going to back off. Right? This is a miscalculation. And history has proven it.
Yeah.
Right? History has proven it. You know, you talk about oppression and the first misthak of it and the biggest and blatant misthak of it and example and manifestation of it that comes to mind is Karbala.
Of course, right? Yeah.
You look at Karbala of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, oppression. There was no media to cover it, you know. There was desert, you know, and there was no one to report it, you know. There were no reporters, you know, there was no, I don't know, press TV and RT
you know. It could very well have been buried right there.
And that's what their plan was, right? But what happened? The Shias of Hussein, they kept it alive. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam kept it alive. Hazrat Zainab salamu alayha, she kept it alive. And the movement continued, right? This is a lesson for the world oppressive powers. Is, you know, right now you look at Parachinar, for instance, in Pakistan, right? They are being oppressed, you know, badly at the hands of these Western stooges. You know, some of them may not know that they are the stooges of the West, but they are working for the West, you know, because they're furthering the agenda of the West in Parachinar, Pakistan. They're ruthlessly massacring the Shias there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What are they thinking? Again, the thought process and the miscalculation they keep making is the same. They keep thinking that Shias are going to back off from supporting the oppressed and opposing the oppressors, which is the will of Imam Ali alayhi salam, kuna li zalimi khasman wa lil mazlumi awna. So they think that they're going to back off and leave this position of theirs. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
It has never worked like that in the history. It is not working. It will not work.
Yeah, it will never
and this
work,
is a message for all the oppressive powers out there and for the mu'mineen too. Mm. Don't lose hope. Yeah. These things, you know, these martyrdoms, they only make us stronger. As Imam Khomeini, he used to call, you know, kill us. Mm. The more you kill us, the more we will rise and shine to this effect. Yeah. You know, the nation will rise and shine. The ummah will rise and shine. So alhamdulillah, we have seen this. Mm. After the event of Karbala, look at where tashayyu is today. Mm. Where Shiaism is, the project, the divine project of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm. The divine project of Prophet of Allah. The divine project of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Hassan alayhi salam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The divine project of Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha. Mm. Look where it is today. Mm. After all those non-stop oppressions and genocides and criminal activities against tashayyu, right? This Zionist regime has been...
It's nothing.
Yeah. So this is, you know, alhamdulillah, message for the mu'mineen. Stay strong, you know.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah,
yeah.
These... like Imam Khamenei said that Ismail Haniyeh, in his message, he said, Ismail Haniyeh was ready for his martyrdom, not just today or yesterday. Mm. He's been ready for a while, for a good while. Mm. And finally, he got that. Mm. Same thing with Haj Qasim Shahid Soleimani, right?
Yeah.
He was ready. He was searching for his martyrdom, right? Ismail Haniyeh said that people come and go.
Yeah.
Haj Qasim Soleimani said what? Mm. That I've been looking for my martyrdom in mountains, in deserts, you know, everywhere I could, right? Mm. So alhamdulillah, martyrdom, we're not scared of martyrdom, you know. What we are... afraid of is that people falling in the propaganda and the traps of the propaganda machinery of the West.
Yeah.
Right? The propaganda machinery of the US, the UK, the France, the Germans, you know, all of these, this cohort of oppressive powers, you know, who are taking world in a disastrous direction. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And alhamdulillah, you know, the Islamic Republic of Iran, its stances don't change.
Yeah.
This is another beautiful thing, right? Sometimes, you know, when you incur loss, you feel that you need to make adjustments or change your position or change your narrative. Alhamdulillah, Islamic Republic of Iran, when it comes to their principled stances, which are very Islamic in nature, they do not back off from those stances, right?
Yeah.
For this Zionist regime of Israel, the stance of the Islamic Republic of Iran, back in the day, it was alone. Today, look how many people.
Yeah, across the board, across the world.
Across the world. Even in the heart of the United States of America, even within the heart of these Ivy League schools, they are saying the same things that the Islamic Republic of Iran has been saying for 40 plus years.
Yeah.
In support of Palestine, against the Zionist regime of Israel. Like, this is the real victory. The real victory is not that you save a few people, you know, you get to live another 10 years or 5 years. This is not the real victory. The real victory is not that you're able to just travel from one country to another because you have this blue passport. No, Bill. The real victory is that your narrative, your deen, your narrative, it is winning. It is victorious. And this is something we all need to, at a very personal level, introspect about and evaluate and look at our own lives. Are we on the winning side for all practical purposes, for all theoretical purposes?
Yeah.
Is our mind, is our heart in the right place? That's the first and foremost thing.
Yeah.
If we come to a conclusion that yes, my mind and my heart is in the right place, it is with the righteous, it is with the mu'mineen, it is with the Islamic Republic of Iran, it is with the system of Wilayatul Faqih, it is with Imam Khamenei, it is with Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, it is with Hashd al-Shaabi, it is with Hamas. And if you come to this conclusion, then look at, am I practically part of that or not? You know, practically, which camp do I belong to? Am I just serving, you know, those leeches that are actually taking this world into this direction of ignorance and oppression and cruelty? right? Mm. And barbarism, mm. namely the Western powers. Mm. Am I on their side? Am I serving them? Am I in their camp for yeah. all practical purposes? We talked about the theoretical part first, yeah. Yeah. right? This is, and if you are, then make the amends. Mm. You know, do your research, study, mm. You know, analyze things intelligently, properly, and make the right decisions for yourself.
Yeah, JazakAllah. Thank you so much, Sheikh Ali Qomi, for joining us, talking about a really important subject, you know, whether or not Hamas is a terrorist organization. I mean, of course, I think for people that do the research and they understand the history and they see the present reality, the question, of course, is very easily answerable. Inshallah, we hope to have you on another talk show soon. Inshallah. Thank you so much, dear viewers, for joining us on the talk show. We were talking about whether or not Hamas is a terrorist organization or not. That's all from us for now. Fi amanillah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.